Hey everyone, it's Connor here. Welcome back to Science Unscripted with us.
Gabe here too.
And we're going to answer your questions. We have three of your emails. We've been getting a lot of emails from our listeners all around the world, and we've selected three of them this week at great pains to answer because they're really, really good and interesting. And the first one begins with a scandal, which, I mean, what more do you want? So it says, Dear Connor and Gabe, first of all, I want to say I really enjoy your show. I've become very interested in science, epidemiology, immunology related to the corona pandemic, and I owe it in part to your show. Your lighthearted approach, especially Gabe's, makes the show even more captivating.
Especially that's Gabe's.
Yeah, especially
so
you,
what
Gabe.
Am I?
You're lighthearted.
The jester here?
You're the court jester. We'll get a hat for you. No, so his question comes from Peru, which is a country that's not, you know, listed much in the corona discussion, but there's a super fascinating scandal happening there right now. And basically what's going on is top politicians may have been vaccinated with the Sinopharm vaccine, so the Chinese vaccine, ahead of schedule and without disclosing it, right? So they kind of cut to the front of the line and got their vaccines first. And that's not a good thing. Understandably, this has shaken our society, Luigi writes, and in an attempt to determine who has been vaccinated, Congress wants to perform some tests. And these tests are still to be determined. We don't know which tests. On all politicians to determine whether they have been vaccinated or not. And Luigi's question, by the way, Luigi's from Peru. He's now in the Netherlands.
So
his question is,
can you figure whether somebody has had the coronavirus or whether they have been vaccinated against it?
Right.
So is that the question?
Correct. If you took a sample of my blood, could you look into Connor's blood and say, oh, he has definitely been vaccinated but didn't have the coronavirus?
Mm-hmm.
Or he has definitely had the coronavirus, COVID-19.
And there is no way, 0% chance that he was vaccinated against coronavirus.
Correct. Is there a test to figure that out? And Luigi, we got in touch with one of the best immunologists in Germany to try to answer that.
In all of Europe, Achim Hirauf is the head of the Institute of Medical Microbiology, Immunology, and Parasitology here in Bonn. You sent an email to him, Connor, and this was his response. This is indeed a very good question, Achim writes. If it had been one of the mRNA vaccines or AstraZeneca, the answer would have been that the immune reactions differ between vaccinated people and those previously infected.
So you could tell the difference then?
That's right. If it was Moderna, BioNTech, or AstraZeneca, then yes. And Achim's explanation for that is that vaccinated have only reactions to the S protein, whereas the infected have also reactions to the N and the other proteins.
That was new to me.
However, Achim goes on, this is not the case with the other vaccines like Sinopharm, which is an inactivated actual full virus. He writes that, I do not really know how to differentiate. Many people who have access to the samples can develop ways.
Okay, so it sounds like, based on what Achim's saying here, is Luigi, there may be a way to do this, but
depending on what vaccine they got.
Yeah,
and it was definitely Sinopharm, right?
That's what it sounds like. And so for that to be tested, it sounds like it's going to be a lot of work to determine, in Peru, which top politicians have been vaccinated, you know, too early or not. And my guess is, if I have any feel for politics, even if they discover a way to test that, some of the politicians are going to come out and say, oh, the test was wrong and you didn't get it right after all. So it sounds like a big
Can you imagine being in a part like of this diagnostic operation here?
It'd be exciting.
You're going in there looking and you find out, oh my God, these politicians did jump ahead. What do I do now?
Yeah, it'll have to be a black and white shut case. And we'll just have to see if there's a test that can make it that way. Next email from Andrea. She writes, Dear DW, I was wondering if you could analyze the idea of giving one dose of the vaccines to 70 to 80% of the world population so that we could distribute vaccines to more countries or at least reach healthcare workers around the world before we vaccinate others. And she goes on to cite, you know, the fact that the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, according to the New England Journal of Medicine, is already 85% effective after just one dose. And AstraZeneca, we talked about it just a couple of days ago, somewhere around 70% after that first dose. Hmm. So it sounds great. And it sounds like there'd be no reason not to do this.
Yeah, it's one of those things like in theory. Yeah, if you just give the one dose, that means you would have double the amount of or double the number of vaccines out there. But and that New England Journal article that she's quoting there says that one dose of BioNTech does give immunity. But the critical question is how long?
That's it.
What is the duration of that immunity?
And we just don't...
We don't know.
No, that's the reason that German health officials have said, no, we're not going to do it that way, because nearly all of the phase three trials that tested these vaccines around the world were double dosage trials. Now, AstraZeneca, amongst its smorgasbord of data that they've published, yeah, there are some one dosage figures in there, but they're not even sure whether that one dosage is, you know, 70% effective all the way through to the 90-day mark. Mm. That's how short the time frame
which
is
where that second booster then works even better than if you give it earlier.
Yeah, and also interestingly, yeah, to stick with AstraZeneca, if you give the second dose too early, 6 weeks after the first dose,
it somehow makes that first dose less effective?
You're down to 55% efficacy. So again, I'm not an immunologist. I don't know why that happens. It's counterintuitive and kind of bizarre, but it's enough of a reason to say we don't know yet whether or not this is going to work, and so let's stick to the data that we actually have.
But I can definitely understand Andrea's argument. Would it maybe make sense to get as many people as possible a bit of immunity first and then give the second injection? In theory, it might make sense.
It feels right. It feels intuitively like the right thing to do, but then again, you know, to take just one of the number of vaccines that already exists, one of the classic vaccines as a double dosage vaccine, polio, for example, you have these situations where certain parts of your immunity drop off after a period of time and you do need that booster or you do need that second dose. So, yeah, it's really complex and we just don't...
Hepatitis B, tetanus, whooping cough, all kinds of vaccines that don't work without the booster.
Yeah, and we don't know with the COVID-19 vaccines, whether it's going to work long-term with just a single dose. So that is an open question, a very good question. Thank you, Andrea. Final question from our guy, Gus, out of Victoria, BC.
Gus the paperboy.
Gus the paperboy, as he
recently... He calls himself that at the end of all of his emails.
Yeah. He's writing to us about needles and how a lot of people are kind of scared of needles. And I'd be the first to admit, I've said this to you, Gabe, I'm kind of tired of seeing these TV news reports of the needle actually plunging, and it looks really deep into people's arms.
It's a pretty big, it looks like about an inch and a half, the needle.
Yeah, and I just don't like watching it. Now, I don't have a needle phobia, but I think he's onto something. There are people out there in the world who do have a needle phobia, but because, you know, you're kind of a wimp, you can't say that out loud, that you're scared of needles. No, especially not as an adult. They find other rationalizations or justifications, either consciously or subconsciously, for not wanting to get vaccinated in the first place. And the question then becomes, are there alternatives? Now, Gabe, I know you have a lot of experience with needles.
I'm trying to think back to when I was a kid. I didn't want to get a flu shot. And maybe
do you know anyone?
Maybe
the do you know anyone who did?
No, and maybe the fear of the needle is enough. It was working at a lower emotional level to then cause you to justify it in your head. No, I don't want the vaccine.
Of course, who wants?
But really, what's going on is you just don't want to get a shot.
Yeah,
I can remember when I was 18 years old when I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And it was clear to me at that point that I was going to have to inject insulin into me with a needle for the rest of my life every day. And the first 3 weeks, you know who was doing that? It was my mom. I could not put the needle in my own body because I had such a visceral fear of that pain. But it isn't pain. The needle just goes in. I don't even feel it.
Really?
I inject myself four or five times.
I've watched you do this, yeah.
I can't feel the needle going in.
So back to...
So to assuage Gus the paperboy's fears and maybe the fears of a lot of people in the world right now, the needle doesn't hurt.
But could there be an alternative to this? And the answer is yes. So there are other good ways to deliver vaccines orally. So you can either, you know, place a drop on a person's tongue or do it as a pill.
COVID-19 vaccines?
We're not very far on this one. So yeah, this is done with polio, typhoid, cholera, to name a couple. There's an American biotech company that's done a phase one trial. And they were able to generate an immune response to SARS-CoV-2. Again, phase one, long way away from saying that this is something that's going to be on the market soon, but it's a possibility. There are nasal sprays. You can deliver this nasally. And there are theories that this may ultimately be even more effective because, you know, you're hitting the areas that get the virus in the first place anyway.
I guess a subcutaneous injection is all about getting whatever material needs to get in into the bloodstream. And
that's
you could do that
to.
Nasally as well.
So this just came out this week that an antiviral nasal spray treatment for COVID-19 was developed by Dutch and U.S. researchers, has been shown to protect ferrets.
And ferrets definitely being one of the animals that spreads COVID-19.
Yeah. So this is a possibility. This could be out there soon. There's also liquid jet injectors. Kind of a crazy sounding idea, but
liquid
this is
jet injectors.
Yeah, it's used with flu vaccines, also HIV trials. What you're doing is you're taking really high pressure liquid, and this might not be the image that you know most people like to conjure up in their minds, but I kind of think of a pressure washer. You know, like that really fast moving jet, but you take a teeny tiny thread thin version of that. And you use liquid to penetrate the skin and deliver medicine to tissues below it.
Wasn't this what Gus was talking about in his email?
Yeah, yeah, he did actually mention this one.
High-pressure meter jet of liquid.
Yeah, so yeah, this is possible. Okay. And there are human trials right now happening with this delivery mechanism for COVID-19 vaccines in Australia. And the last one I'll mention here is something called a skin patch. You can imagine it like a Band-Aid. With like lots of little teeny tiny hair-like needles, if that makes sense. Mm. So not something that you would even feel as a needle. And these skin patches have been tested on mice with a COVID-19 vaccine trial in the U.S.
So that gets into the membrane of the skin then?
It gets deep enough that the vaccine is delivered where it needs to go.
Wow.
inside your body.
All right.
So there are a lot of different ways for delivering vaccines. And the good news is we're testing them. People out there are testing them right now to get COVID-19 vaccines to people who may just be really scared of needles.
And if you out there know of any more or have anything to say on what we have just said here, get in touch, su@dw.com.
Science Unscripted.